Welcome to the My Money Podcast number 9 from helpmetosave.com. I'm Karen Bryan, the editor of Help Me to Save, where you'll find lots of money saving tips to help you save more and live the life that you want. In this edition of the My Money Podcast, I'll be summarising some recent posts on Help Me to Save. Now, starting off with Pinterest. Now, this seems to be all the rage at the moment. It's a social network that's like an online pin board, really. You can pin photos that you like. It's really based on photos, a visual social network, which I quite like. So you can join, pin your photos, pin other people's photos, like photos, make comments, you can share them on Facebook, Twitter, whatever. So in order to have some fun on Help Me to Save, because it can be all a bit serious talking about saving money, I thought that we could have a laugh looking at humorous piggybacks, also as a reminder to help us to think about saving more. So I had a good trawl through Flickr looking for interesting photos of piggy banks, and I put them on my piggy banks board on Pinterest. So I've written an article about this on Help Me to Save, and I've pinned some of the photos there. A pig, I'm in clover with clover leaves on him, one with bandages and crutches, and another one who's looking like he's going through very lean times. But if you want to join in, you can do it on Twitter. You can tweet a piggy bank photo that you like using the hashtag piggybankfave. And you can also come to the Help Me to Save Facebook page and do a link to a photo that you like, and then I can pin them on the pin board. So yes, have some fun looking at some of the humorous piggy banks. So see, if you come to the site helpmetosave.com, you'll see the article on your favourite piggy bank. Now, another one of the posts I wrote last week was how to save on hotels, because there can be such a variation in rates in hotels. Occasionally, the hotel's own site can offer you the cheapest rate, but not that often. Usually, strangely, it's cheaper through a third party. So in order to start trying to find the best rate for a hotel, I use the hotel's combined price comparison site. It's a good place to start. Just putting in the dates and the location, how near the city centre, what price you're prepared to go up to, things like that. And then once you get the details back, you can have a bit of a rake around the sites. Now, I used the site to find a hotel for my forthcoming trip to Portugal at the end of March. I wanted a hotel for 4 nights in Faro in Portugal, in the Algarve. Just going over on my own, so it's a single room for 4 nights. Now, I had several criteria. I was looking for good verified guest reviews. By verified, I mean that someone has actually stayed at the hotel before they can leave a review, unlike TripAdvisor, where anybody can just go in and leave a review. They don't have to have stayed there. Being a blogger, online publisher, I wanted free Wi-Fi. I wanted to be in the centre of town, not away out on the periphery where I'd have to get buses and taxis. I wanted my own bathroom, although I like budget accommodation, I prefer not to have a shared bathroom. I was looking for breakfast included and also under £30 a night. So I managed to find something that fitted all the criteria for £30 a night on the hotels.com site. I did check the hotel's own website, but it was €40 a night, around £33, so hotels.com was cheaper. I then had a look at a couple of cashback sites to see what cashback I could get on hotels.com. And at that time, Top Cashback was offering 10% cashback on hotels.com bookings. So I decided to book through that link. So assuming I get the £12 cashback on the £120 I paid, that's £30 a night at 4 nights, that'll bring the price down to £27 a night. But as I always say, you can never guarantee the money from cashback sites, so make sure that you're booking at the lowest price. However, since I made that booking and wrote that article, I discovered a code for 10% discount on hotels.com by liking the hotels.com UK page on Facebook. So I think obviously using a code that you get 10% off the price is better than cashback, because you definitely get the money off. I'm just not sure if you can keep using the discount code indefinitely, or if you just get it when you first like the page. I'll need to investigate that further. I have used it once more, but it was a February code, so I don't know if I'll be able to get a March code, or if it will only come up for new people liking the Facebook site. I'll find out. But this is just an illustration that if you do want to get the cheapest rate, you need to do a wee bit of legwork. And it's really down to you whether you think, you know, to save another few pounds, you want to spend another half an hour doing your searches. Some people are happy enough to do it, like me. They like baking around, and it, you know, it gives me something to write about and do research. But other people will maybe think, oh, I can't be bothered with all that. But if you're into saving money, if you have this approach for all your purchases, if you think, you know, you can save a few percent on most things you buy, it is going to add up to a fair amount per month, per year, over the years. So I think it's worthwhile, but it's up to you to judge that for yourself. Now, last week I was actually down in Leeds at short notice. A couple of weeks ago, I took part in Morrison's, it's a big UK supermarket. They've relaunched their value line called M Savers. So I took part in a recipe challenge to cook a meal with their ingredients from M Savers. So as a follow-up from that, I was invited down to Morrison's HQ. They have a new kitchen called the M Kitchen there, and there was going to be a demonstration of cooking more meals with M Savers, and also the bloggers who attended the event were going to cook one of the meals. So the evening kicked off with a demonstration by one of Morrison's chefs who cooked meatballs, made it all look very simple. Now, fortunately, there were 8 bloggers there. I was paired off with Claire from Ninja Killer Cat, and we got to make the same dish as the chef had just made, so it was quite good. We'd already had a demonstration of what to do. Now, one of the tips that Richard gave us was not to be a pan rattler. Now, evidently, this is the name that chefs give to most amateur cooks who are forever shuggling the pan around and poking in the food instead of just leaving it to cook. However, I think that Claire and I probably were too busy blethering and took his advice a bit too seriously, because we ended up almost burning the meatballs because we just didn't touch them. So I think there's a kind of halfway house there. Don't be a pan rattler, but don't totally abandon your food to get burnt. So yes, it was interesting to go to the event, and it was all very last gasp. I just got my invitation the day before, but luckily I managed to get my rail and hotel booked. Now, I'd like to ask you to take part in our poll, How Frugal Are You? It's just a quick Twitter poll where you just answer questions about your shopping spending habits. If you've always been very frugal, you've always been quite frugal, if you feel you've been forced into being frugal by the rather harsh economic climate. So do come to the site helpmetosave.com to take part in the frugality poll. And another post from last week was about on the road prices for cars. Now, we've been swithering and dithering, finally come to a decision not to replace our current 7-year-old car. But prior to that, we were tempted by some pretty good offers, and we thought, maybe we should, we've had a good run with the Skoda Fabia. It's been very reliable. And Skoda were doing a 0% VAT offer. We thought, is this a good time to change the car? So we went, did a few test drives and things. But one of the things that I learned from all this doing research into cars was how the on-the-road price for new cars is inflated. I never quite understood why there was such high depreciation. Almost as soon as you buy a new car, you drive it out of the showroom, it's lost a couple of thousands of pounds in value. Well, part of the reason for this is that when you buy a new car, a few hundred pounds of the price that you pay covers delivery, registration at the DVLA, things like that. So obviously, as soon as you buy the car, that few hundred pounds you've paid just evaporates. It's not really an integral value of the car as such. And how I discovered this was when I was looking at the Skoda site for the 0% VAT offer. There were three columns. One said pre-VAT price, one said price including VAT, and one said on-the-road price. So I naively just looked at the pre-VAT price because I assumed, without checking, that the on-the-road price was just the plus VAT. So I got a bit of a nasty shock when I phoned the garage and said, oh, I see under the 0% offer I can get a Skoda Fabia diesel for such and such a price. And they got back to me and the price they said was like £600 more. And I thought, how have I missed that? But then when I looked at the small print, I could see that this addition for on the road price. So when you're comparing prices for new cars, don't make the same mistake as us. Make sure you're actually looking at on the road prices. And finally, NHS dentistry. I better not talk too much about this. In the UK, we have a supposedly a national health service. The problem is that the dentistry arm, there are charges to be seen in for treatment, whereas for other health issues, you don't have to pay. So I've had a lot of problems with the local dental service in Northumberland. Had a lot of pain for months and the local dentist couldn't identify the problem. So I was supposedly given an urgent referral to Newcastle Hospital. That was on the 1st of December. So I started phoning Newcastle Hospital a couple of weeks later. They didn't have any details and the saga just continued. More pain, more pain. Nobody knew what it was. And finally, last week, one of the teeth that I was suspecting could be causing the problems, a bit of the tooth shell cracked and some filling fell out. So in a way, I was glad. The pain, the intense pain stopped after that. And I thought, at last, it's been uncovered which tooth was causing the problem. So I tried to make an emergency appointment at the dentist and they didn't have anything for a week and I thought, oh no, the tooth is going to crumble, whatever. But I phoned the dentist again and they were able to squeeze me in last week and the dentist did say it would need to come out and I just wanted her to do it there and then, but she didn't have time, so I've now got an appointment for tomorrow. However, the pain started again last night and more of the tooth has cracked and another bit of filling come out. So I think it's going to be difficult to extract. But I'm really quite annoyed over the whole thing because I'm paying for a national health service through taxes. Also, every time I go to the dentist, I have to pay. And I'm pretty miffed that, you know, I've just been left in pain for months. And you kind of get to the stage where you think you're almost going to be forced into going to see a dentist privately so that things can be hurried up a bit and you're not left in pain. But I really don't see why you should have to use your hard-earned income or savings to pay for dental treatment when we supposedly have a national health service and, you know, we're already paying doubly for it in taxes and when we go to the dentist. So I'm feeling that the service offered by the National Health is just not up to scratch. It really isn't acceptable. I mean, if I had actually had an urgent appointment to be seen at Newcastle Hospital that had been urgent and been seen in January or some beginning of January after the holidays, then I wouldn't have had to endure another few weeks of pain and verge on becoming a painkiller junkie. So I have written to my local MP to complain about it and he's supposedly going to write back to me. I don't know how much difference it will make, but it's really just not an acceptable state of affairs. So on that ranty note, I would like to thank you for listening to the Help Me to Save podcast. Do come to the site where you can read our articles in full on helpmetosave.com. You can also sign up for our free monthly Money Saver newsletter. Do join us again soon. Goodbye.